Welcome to the Brain Fox Podcast. I'm Ed Rand.
I'm Brett Johnson. We got part two of the Mark Stevic podcast
That's coming your way.
We've got Audrey with us for this. Mark is a professor, performer, playwright, other things that start with P, and just a fantastic guest as well.
If you missed part one, go back and listen to it. In part two today, you'll hear his story that he may someday tell at the Moth Podcast.
Yes.
Involving, should we give a
seagull,
tease?
Yes. Okay.
Involving a seagull. Ooh, and destruction.
Yeah.
And Niagara Falls.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's a real good tease.
It's a fantastic tease.
So enjoy it.
Continued part two here.
So there are details, you know, we know, and maybe Dave.
Ed.
I meant Dave. I'm not talking about Ed.
Okay.
We're just talking about
his
Dave.
His friend Dave. Dave Ells.
Dave Ells.
Yeah.
Isn't he your friend?
Yes, yes, yeah.
So Ed's friend Dave.
Who we talk to
all the time. Ed, do you know much about the Salem Witch Trials?
Not much.
Yeah. So Brett and Audrey and I know a little bit.
Brett and Audrey know a little bit. You know a lot.
No, I don't know that. But I did read, you know, when I was working on a play about it, I read
In the Devil's
everything
Nair.
Everything about his
hair removal cream. And all the junk that was in the Devil's Nair.
The Devil's Nair.
Yeah. In the Devil's Nair.
In the Devil's Nair.
Don't encourage him.
Why?
Please.
Why didn't I ever think of that?
That's
such good comic material.
Just breaks everything down.
There are certain details over the years that have seemed really interesting and true to me. Like, do you know what a familiar is, Ed? Also known as Dave?
No.
A familiar is sort of a demon in the shape of a bird or a cat that the devil gives to the witch, and then the cat, the bird, whatever, will often suck the blood of the witch.
Like a sidekick.
Little sidekick.
That sucks your blood. Sure.
Yeah.
It's like, do you ever see Tailspin?
Demon familiar.
Yes.
What was it?
Tailspin, the cartoon?
No.
Yeah.
Go.
So just that, but imagine the main bear in that as a human, and then he's got a sidekick.
That suckles.
That happens to suck on his blood.
Blood, right.
On his, makes it sound like it's an object I'm going to list, but it's a liquid I'm going to list. Blood.
Some of the afflicted girls, those who were most tormented, said that some of the demon familiars, the birds, would suckle between the witch's fingers.
So kinky.
Isn't that a great detail?
It's so kinky.
They thought of that.
Fantastic detail. That's
the kind of detail where you say the conscious, maybe she couldn't go to Pluto because there wasn't a ferret on Pluto.
Right.
But she could go to Fiji because there's
people and animals and
animals
stuff
there.
Yeah.
The same kind of trueness. And here's the other thing. I haven't read Harry Potter yet. My kids are getting to that age.
Mm.
So they'll get there.
Nice.
But can they teleport by jumping into fireplaces? I just learned this.
It's like the flu system,
they call it. Great detail.
Yeah.
There's something, I mean, I remember being afraid of fireplaces. I forgot about it until my daughter said, that fire, I don't like the fire. It looks like a mouth. Forgot. I remember being afraid of
the fire.
Kid Carl. We're back
on?
To Carl.
Was the fire
his basement.
On?
No. You just go on. In his basement, and there was a fireplace in his basement, and I was truly afraid to go in that room until you turn on the light.
Do you know what that reminds me
and
of in Sleeping Beauty?
Weird.
Doesn't she go
so
when she gets like bewitched? She walks through the fireplace.
Oh, that's right.
And that is terrifying.
It is terrifying.
That's
I finally
real
saw
scary.
It for the
See
first
that?
Time.
Sleeping Beauty?
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
You haven't seen Sleeping Beauty?
I haven't either.
I only saw it a month ago for the first time. We're
what
all in the same
the,
boat.
What is wrong
See?
With
huh?
you?
See,
it's
not
one
weird.
Of like the trifecta of
Except
Disney classics.
Of Disney princess movies?
Princess movies. Thanks.
What else is there? That is what runs this earth. Please, Disney princesses?
The one movie
Miley,
I watched growing up?
Selena,
Indiana
Lindsay
Jones.
Lohan. We've got, they still are in power today. No, but that's really scary. She turns green.
I love In Power.
Everything gets green.
It's true.
And she walks through the fireplace, and it's the music. The soundtrack is so scary, and you're like, what's going to happen to the blonde?
I'm the king of the swingers with the jungle VIP. I've reached the top and had to stop, and that's what's bothering me. Right?
Yeah. Okay. Jungle Book. Yeah.
I inferred it was Jungle
Who's
Book.
Who's the princess in that?
Maybe I didn't say because I was
just saying, we all know.
Maybe I didn't say because I was living in a jungle at the time.
I'm gone, man. Solid gone.
Africa.
That's a great character.
I didn't live in the jungle. It was more savanna.
I think that was like the first round of Genie from Aladdin, I think, has a lot of him in it. The bear from Jungle Book.
Baloo.
Good, yeah.
Baloo.
They said Baboo.
Well, it was a little freaky telling that story. I just bring us back there. It's a little freaky.
I'm glad you went there.
Yeah.
I realized, I mean, I might as well. Here we are. I have nothing else to bring to this tonight. So not that you couldn't have.
Pulled it out of
exactly.
You.
Exactly.
Is it okay if I backtrack real quick?
Boom.
The Salem murder.
He's still pissed about the name thing.
No. The Salem murder where the witch was able to figure out where the body was. You said you talked to people and said, what do we make of this?
Yeah.
What did you make of it?
Nobody's made anything of it yet. We all just, I mean, everyone that I've sort of told the story to, and it's probably been six people. Now it's you, it's nine. No one knows what to say. And we just go, I don't know. We just are sort of
there's not a lot.
A little freaked, a little spooked, but kind of not uncrediting.
But the police didn't like take it and say like, okay, let's go check that spot. It took
the body came up too. I mean, really quickly. I said a couple of days. It might have been the next day.
Wow.
It was soon afterward. Very soon.
Like, because there's always the possibility of there's always a possibility of, you know,
I just want some
underworld connections being
especially
like,
with murders.
True.
You know, like it's not like. Where can I, Lori Cabot, where can I get, you know, a burrito on the North Shore at 3 o'clock? They're like, somebody like did some dastardly deeds.
So
you know, like the stakes and the, like, I don't know, the,
like people,
the dark factor of that is so high. It's not like asking, I don't know.
Right, like, where's my
dark
purse?
Dark factor is good.
Right?
Where'd my purse go? It's not sort of
right.
Like, it's not a lot of.
Not that she wouldn't
both,
help in
like
that, but I'm just saying
to pull
that.
On, but also
but
like people.
As far as like Wiccans and stuff like that, and they're all like energy, spectral evidence, like you know auras and stuff. That's like that's normal. So if something really, really bad happened, I think that would be like number one on their morning notes in you know the next day.
Funny you'd say find a purse, because that was also not punishable by death, but significantly punishable in 1692. Finding stuff, finding money, finding a body, a dead body where it lies. There was maleficium or something like that. Anyway, and there's the slightly less. It's sort of the white witchcraft.
Maleficium.
That's where you, I think, if I have it right, that's where you're cursing someone. You're John Louder. You're choking, strangling, killing someone using witchcraft. That's maleficium, I think.
It's like
but
dirty,
I can't
dirty
remember.
Duns, dirty deeds done with magic.
Done dirt cheap. Do you know that AC/DC song, or am I just?
No, I know I know the phrase.
Okay.
Maleficium.
Well, like just we're talking about Sleeping Beauty, and that's Maleficent, which they're remaking just to be about Maleficent's story, and that's
which
just
one?
Like the best name.
Sleeping Beauty, they're remaking. Should I catch this one?
Well, they're making Maleficent with Angelina Jolie, so it's like the live action, like how they did Snow White recently.
Two times.
Yeah.
Seems like that's got a lot more people talk about Snow White a lot. I feel like it's a
no,
I don't
they
know.
Don't.
What's the one with
people Brett talks to?
Like the circles I run in. Which one's Snow White? I fell asleep and
Seven
he kissed
dwarfs.
Me and I wake up. Okay, yeah. That one kind of sucks.
You're thinking
Cinderella. I feel like gets a lot of traction. Oh, the pumpkin float, and like the rats that can jump. You know, you drop the glass. Maybe it's a really strong visual. The glass slipper. It's like really applicable to a lot of situations.
Why was Cinderella so bad at basketball?
Why are rats so bad at basketball?
No, why was Cinderella so bad at basketball?
White girl can't jump with only one glass.
Because her coach was a pumpkin.
That's good.
I don't know. I don't know. There's an actual joke coming.
Can I tell you another moss story?
Yes.
I'm just kidding.
Moss. Really?
You don't have another moth story?
No, moth story.
Would you ever consider actually telling a story for the moth podcast?
Yeah, and I was talking with my buddy Brian Paris today. Do you know Brian Paris?
No. He's downstairs.
So Brian Paris, if he's going to be in here, he and I are talking about roughing up some stories for. I don't know if he'll do the moth, but something like that. They're both bird stories. So if you blow the moth up a little bit, we talked about birds flying in mouth.
So he's looking for something bigger than a moth.
I've got a story. We both have stories that happened to us, right, bigger than a moth, where my story is accidentally killing a seagull with a rock.
Accidentally killing the seagull
with
a rock?
With a rock.
I feel like there's no way that's an accident.
Yeah.
What happened?
Maleficium.
Yeah. And Brian's got
a
what's
cursed
rock. His story?
Did you throw the rock?
I did.
How is it an accident?
At the
so
seagull.
This is the story that I will tell at the moth if I ever can get the outline of it right. The sort of bullet.
You heard it here first.
And I'm not going to tell the story. I'm just going to say that I was skipping rocks.
Oh, okay.
On the Niagara River, above the falls, several miles, 4 miles above the rock, something like that.
Why were you that far above Niagara Falls?
It was there was a conference taking place there, and I was there.
Okay.
And there was a college there. I think it was called Niagara Christian College. So you walk from the college, across the highway, boom, you're at the water. So it was April, May, something like that. The ice had broken up on the Niagara or on like whatever Buffalo. One of the Great Lakes there. And the ice was coming down the Niagara River. So I was skipping these fantastic, flat, huge, flat, perfect skipping rocks over the ice floes.
Satisfying.
So satisfying. And I was really – I was upset.
A good stone.
For a number of reasons. My my former girlfriend was marrying Carl, the guy that I was just telling you.
Wow.
My Jeez. Best friend from boyhood.
Who, twisted.
It's all interwoven here. So he was – And I was okay with it. I mean, of course I was okay with it. But it was a little – it was just a little
– But you were upset.
No, not upset.
Unsettled. Just,
I was the best man in the wedding. So –
Oh, gosh.
So that was – I mean, it was just sort of interesting, okay. Right? She and so I had broken
emotional
up.
Intensity.
She and I had broken up a number of years before, you know. But here comes the wedding, and we happened that year, that spring, to – I had graduated from college, and I had moved into Pennsylvania into – It turned out we moved into the same town. I was working at an office, and she was working at a bank in this town. It would just happen.
But so not we would Carl. Get, we would Carl get, was not
right.
Living
Carl there. Was finishing a degree at another place. So here, and we were still. She and I were still good friends, but we were hanging out together on occasion. We would get together for lunch just to check in, and because we still cared about each other. They were, you know, getting married a couple months later, so. But the stakes were kind of high in a way. I don't know. They were for me. They were high. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to properly hang out with my ex, who was marrying my best friend, and I was going to be in their wedding. You know, mm-hmm. It doesn't happen all the time. So anyway, and we had been years before. We had gone to the same Niagara Christian College for a youth conference, and she and I smooched like mad on the edge of Niagara River. Mm. So I have these memories. There I am again years later mm-hmm. at a conference. Now, this time I'm one of the sort of leaders mm-hmm. of the conference, and all the youth are there running. I'm remembering, and now I'm going to be in her wedding about mm-hmm. 2 months from now. Mm-hmm. And all of this is just sort of piling on. You know, I'm just thinking about it. We're on a break from the conference. I'm skipping stones.
Beautiful skipping stones.
Beautiful skipping stones. Big, flat, beautiful ones. Thanks for taking it back, because they are good and they are not. These are fantastic. And I hang back the arm to skip, and I notice as I'm coming forward – that a seagull is flying into my vision. Here it comes down. So, I mean, what am I going to do? I just, last second, I thought.
Momentum.
Right. I've got the momentum. Throw at the seagull. There's no way I'm going to hit it. You don't hit a seagull.
So you aimed for the seagull in the synapse of why not?
Right.
Right.
That's a beautiful way to say that. In the synapse of why not? Holy crow. I got to use that. So in the synapse, fling, and not only do in that synapse of, and I'm truly, it's way less than a second. It's Usain Bolt world. I realized that the seagull, and I'm telling a story now suddenly, the seagull would fly, it would see the rock coming and would fly up away from my rock.
Like how deer try to avoid your car right. when you're about to hit them.
So it's going to avoid my rock in the same way the deer.
No.
So I adjust.
As the deer.
Oh, no.
As the deer panted. And I adjust for, and the
You threw it higher so that it would higher. Fly up
and
into
flew,
it.
And I
direct
had
hit. Good,
and it direct hit into the breast of the seagull. Its wings folded around the rock.
The
rock never – oh, it was – I heard a huge – and that's one of the things I have to figure out how to describe when I tell the story at the Moth.
Yes.
Is
yes,
the sound.
Yes, yes,
because
right.
I don't know what to describe. I've
Well, you're a writer,
yeah.
So figure it out.
Did there you go.
Had it skipped say, once, or was this the f- was
no,
this, was
why not?
Before?
No, no, aimed up.
I went up. It didn't skip. Yeah, okay. It was.
And the bird fall into the water immediately?
And the rock.
Dead instant. The rock never parted from the seagull. The wings went around the rock.
Took it
dead instantly in the air and just straight down into the water. Then here's the rest.
Back or down?
Straight
Boom.
Down.
Okay.
Boom. So I'm shocked. I don't want to. My dad loves birds. I asked to see the ivy-billed woodpecker from a woman who astral projects. Right. Who would ask that?
I know.
What can you ask to see?
You are a bird lover.
An extinct bird. Please. That's what I would like you to check out. Got
Genie.
It.
Genie. Genie who grants wishes.
So I've just killed a seagull, right? And, okay, so now it's late April. There are these huge ice. This set, this beautiful fabric of a bird, whatever, is going to now get crushed by. And remember, in a couple of miles, it's going to go over the lip of the Horseshoe Falls.
Yes, that only people in barrels in 1890
right
survived.
Exactly.
Yes.
So the water's a little bit agitated from the wind and the current and the ice. The seagull's body exuded an oil that created a widening circle of absolute calm around it.
What?
5 feet around, 10 feet, 12 feet in diameter.
Did it push flows, or just there wasn't any?
Just absolute calm, no ripples. It was
more than
perceptible.
Down?
It was completely obvious. This disc. What's that?
As it was traveling down.
Yeah, as it slowed, and it was right where I was sort of this little. Maybe a little eddy area. Anyway, it wasn't moving quickly. The pace here at the side was not fast. Down in the center of the river was faster. But it's just moving slowly. And here's what then another seagull came out of wherever they come from and began to circle over my head and over the dead seagull's head, diving down toward us and crying. Gaw, 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 gaw.
Oh.
Now two. Now three. Now four, soon the air is wheeling.
This is not real.
Promise you, with 10, 12, 15 seagulls all crying for their dead seagull
that caught the ball.
Comrade.
That I've killed without even, of course I wouldn't have done it. Who would kill a seagull?
It was,
I'll tell
you,
it
was a direct hit with a smooth discus throw.
Yeah.
It was like you had been practicing your whole life for that moment and that stone.
The river skipping was practice for this moment.
That's what the seagulls probably saw.
I've been reading, my kids are the age where I'm reading Bible stories and they're really interested in the David and Goliath story. So I've been
stone.
So you told them the story.
My son said, why? Yeah, right.
I killed the sword giant.
My son said, why did he pick 5 stones?
In the story, does he
David
do
pick
one?
Five. He picks five and just takes one. Yeah, he hits on the first. But he says they're smooth stones from the stream, I think is what it says.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is right, because if you get the right stone, it will skip beautifully. If you get the right stone, you can throw it really far. It's got to be aerodynamic and all that. So it's a credible detail. And it's interesting that Wynn said, why five? What are you going to do? Here he goes. So you miss on the first, loading the second. Here he comes.
Right.
Anyway, so there's the moth. That's the story I'm going to tell at the moth. Yeah.
That's a great story.
Along with a little bit of bird watching lore about seagull and that whole waterway.
Were you about to say edamame?
Yes.
And of course, edamame.
With a little bit of edamame.
One of the first times I had edamame, I was at Kame and John Updike was sitting at the next table.
What?
Do you know Kame here on?
Yeah.
So he and his wife. And it was hard not to. In fact, I failed at resisting to listen to his conversation.
Of course.
And he was talking about step aerobics. His wife was talking about step aerobics.
Oh, my
She's going
gosh.
On and on about step and then complaining
this
about
90s,
this or that or whatever.
Yeah.
And yeah. Yeah.
And step was big in the 90s.
He goes on and on about.
And is he
this
just eating or is he like, mm-hmm?
He's just eating, going, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And finally, she stops.
And you're like, yes, yes.
What's up? Is he going to say? And he says, what step? There it is.
Which wife of that was his, you know?
Martha.
His second. And only his second. He's only had... That was the only second wife he had.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I highly recommend the seagull story for the moth, and you have to write something really brilliant about the sound of it hitting, because everything else is good.
There's a lot of tactile in that story, and you're right. That isn't. I don't know what it's going to be. I'm afraid. And if Brian talks about his bird, there's a moment that he feels he can't write in his bird story. Mm. And at that moment, I don't want to overwrite. I don't want to overwrite that moment of the sound. But if it's the right thing,
I just was imagining just one of your sentences of like, this is what it sounded like. Like this.
Updike has a story, speaking of birds, called Pigeon Feathers. It's a brilliant short story. And he describes a boy basically standing for himself, whose mother tells him to go out into the barn and shoot the pigeons that are in the barn. And his description of the shooting of those pigeons is flawless. Mm. Everybody in your listening audience should read that story. Certainly read the end when he takes the shotgun out and creates these birds from little bobbling liquid noises up in the rafters. And each one he shoots, he creates into a full bird skimming down the way, skimming down the wall. He's like what? Like rags.
Wow.
I forget what it is. Brilliant, beautiful, just fantastic. What is it? It was Aristotle who said, one measure of genius is the ability to see similarities between dissimilar things. And Updike's ability to describe something in terms of another thing and make me completely get it and to recognize that relationship between the rags and the bird or the liquid, whatever, is I think, the best. He's great at it.
What's that one called?
Pigeon
feathers.
Feathers. Do you have a favorite Updike piece?
Yes. Well, one of those. Yeah, that and a short story in the same collection. It's not even a short story. It's called Archangel. And I'm going to be this fall, I've been Patrick Gray, pastor, the priest at Christ Church Hamilton, has asked me to do a presentation. And so I said, all right, I'm going to do it on Gerard Manley Hopkins, the poet, and John Updike, and the relationship between those two, because I think Hopkins really influenced Updike and a number of pieces. And I love Hopkins' poetry, and I love Updike's short stories, particularly early stuff.
Cool.
November 2nd. November 5th. Anyway.
Presentation.
Come to
morning?
My Sunday school class.
Sunday school class.
In November at Christ Church. And I'm here about Updike and Gerard Manley Hopkins.
Have you been there, Ed, Christ Church?
No.
I'm surprised.
That's fine. It's in one of those greater Gordon area sort of locales.
It's funny. I hope nobody actually, now that I say that, I hope nobody can come. I'll be worried about it all these next several
intrusive
months.
Thoughts.
The moth.
What was
in Sunday school?
When I think intrusive thought, I think of.
Yeah, I wanted to know what yours was.
Well, I feel like it's situational. Maybe there's not like a main one. Is there a main one? I don't
for
know.
For you?
No, for anybody. Is there like, I don't know if people have, maybe they have a top one. Maybe they
I had one when I was
hundreds
a kid.
That I could just.
But there isn't a main one that everybody has.
No, but I mean like every individual maybe has their own top intrusive thought. I feel like it's
He's
more.
He's right. Ed is right.
Yeah.
It's a little.
There isn't a main one everyone has. I think I agree with Ed here.
Thank you.
Well, I was voicing that I don't know how it is. So then I thank you for telling me how it is.
Were you going
to
give us one?
Well, for some reason, I feel like when that was described to me, what that means, it was either an example used in the description. So now I have an intrusive thought about that, which is like. I don't know. It was like looking up at a street light or like a street light.
Yes. And crashing on your car.
Or like falling off the top of it, being on the top of it and like falling off.
Oh, that's weird.
That height. For some reason.
Why would you be up there though?
I don't know. In this, because I had an intrusive thought
that
transported me up there.
I think about
that. I astrally projected to the top of a. With you
when
in
you're,
it?
When you're waiting at a stoplight and the wind's blowing. And they would just like crush your head if they landed like right on the driver's side, you know. Anyway,
what about you, Ed?
Yeah, tell us, Ed. Do you have one?
I think kind of similar to that one is like kind of just being crushed. Like whenever you go into like a tiny space, that somehow like it would get tinier on you.
Yeah.
Even though like
I have to stop.
And you
think.
Personally standing there, or like in a car?
No, in a car as well. Like if you go between two big trucks, that they would like squish your car.
Yep.
Or like. If you're going into a small space, like I always have to like get the air conditioners out of storage, and that's a tiny little crawl space, and it's big enough that
it's
I
never
can fit,
changing,
right? But every time I go in there, I start to get like a little panic that it's gonna like get smaller.
Yeah,
you get stuck and you can't get out.
No, I've
or
never
just
gotten
crushes,
stuck.
It crushes you. The crushing?
Oh, the fear. Yeah, that I get stuck and that it eventually crushes me.
That's like. You ever go to a indoor rock climbing place?
Yeah.
I went to one in Albany, and they have like cool like crawl tubes behind the rock wall.
Those are freaky.
And you can barely fit in it, and then there's like dozens of people crawling around in them. You're like, I don't want to go anywhere. I remember being like, I want to get out of here.
Yeah. Like spelunking.
How
people
is this
do that.
Fun?
Like,
is that what they call it?
Well,
no,
that's what it's supposed to mimic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Which is going through caves, rock climbing. I don't know why anybody would do that.
That stresses
that's
me out.
Me. Yeah.
I don't even want to go there.
I'm looking, by the way, here. I'm looking for that Updike description of the pigeons. Mm. But anyway, so I'm not going to.
Did you want to share an intrusive thought?
My intrusive thought used to be, it was awful. It was, it's a little OCD, I think. It was this little, into my mind would come the image of a little, little frenetic, gleeful pebble bouncing around in a,
like
in
a Mexican
frolicsome
jumping
way. Yes, yeah, smaller, quicker than that. Small, like a Kix.
Mm-hmm.
Kids like Kix.
Yep.
For what Kix has got.
We're more familiar with kid-tested mother-approved.
Thanks. And suddenly, so this little kid-tested thing bopping along, suddenly a huge 40-ton rock out of the sky lands on it.
I can't. Oh, my
gosh. That used to drive me crazy. That would come into my head at night, and I would have to get up. I mean, that was the intrusive thought that haunted me for
years.
That's
amazing.
I don't want to get into this, but I had... I had major...
And it wasn't you. You were oppressed by...
Fun. No, Mom, stop it.
Kix. That's the commercial. Okay. It's a Kix. A giant Kix crushes it. Mark Stevens' intrusive thought. Kix. What's that?
That's my wrap it up from the Dark Tower. Yeah. Get on with it.
Go ahead, Audrey. You don't want to get into it, but...
Oh, I had younger, very young intrusive thoughts.
I like these metaphoric ones.
Big things and little things. Things that are very large, that not astronomical, like meteor Kix, but things that are very large on something that is very thin and fragile, much like a Kix. A lot of that. That I got... This podcast has just been very unsettling. I'm having like acid reflux so bad. This whole time, because I'm talking about things is really scare me. Unfounded fears. But yeah.
Excitement.
The Kix, that's as soon as you said the little tiny Kix.
Okay,
like,
so can I say one last thing before you wrap? Do you ever read, I don't remember which one, I think it's Voyage of the Dawn Treader, which is C.S. Lewis.
My favorite of the series.
Okay, so they go to this, they're floating along.
Important detail.
They float into this island where dreams come true. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
And they go, hooray, hooray. And Rillian or whoever it is, I don't know, is it Caspian, says, this is great. And then whoever is with them says, no, you don't understand. Oh, it's a guy that swims up. He says, don't leave ship, phantom ship, don't leave me. The rest, they pull him in. What's wrong with you? It's one of the guys, they've been to the Lone Islands or whatever. He says, this is the island where dreams come true. This is great. Billy will be alive again. I'll be rich. He says, no, don't you understand? Dreams. Hmm. And then one of the seamen says, oh, the scissors have started. I knew they would. Or something like that.
Yeah. That detail. Yeah. I remember that line.
The scissor sound is starting. Yeah. Isn't that just like these terrible little Kix?
Right.
I mean, it's perfect. That's perfect.
I think it was Rinpoche.
Lewis rocked it on that one.
That was the rat, wasn't it?
Yeah. Rinpoche. I think Rinpoche might have been the one who saved him out of that.
Yeah.
Some.
There's a
turn and row hard. Yeah, go.
He killed that.
Oh, just in Life of Pi, there's like the island that he finally finds. Well, have you read that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
No.
Something similar to that.
That's right, similar.
Where he's like, I can stay forever. It's green. They're like little woodchucky animals for the tiger to eat. Like, we're all set. We just might as well stay here. And then at night, you find out that it's alive.
The island is eating all the creatures on it.
Like the plants, the freshwater plants that have made this island have like an electric charge to them, like when the sun goes down and everything that's in the water like dies and what's ever touching the water and all these little pools. So at night, all of these little woodchucks that have inhabited this island, they all run up into the trees to get out of like these puddles that are everywhere, because everything that's in the puddles dies, floats up. In the morning, all the woodchucks come down and eat all this fish, you know, that had come up into the island. So similar to that.
Speaking
kind of thing.
Ben Affleck, did you see Life of Pi? I only say because I didn't see it.
Yeah.
But the last time the only clips I saw it, we were talking about it was after the Oscars show.
Yeah.
We did that whole bit on Ben Affleck, which thankfully you edited out because I was wrong about all that stuff that I said about him being blah, blah, blah. But was it good?
The book is amazing. The movie is fine, but the book is so good.
The movie is fine.
You should read the book. I'll read Updike if you read that. It's short.
I read Rabbit Run.
Make that face.
I just don't have time.
I know.
Classes are starting, and
I've got
tons
so
of
many things to read. And just my
students'
list,
work.
And I just have my Pinterest boards to organize, and just so much happening in my life. I can't read some youth fiction novel. It's like 150 pages.
Is it youth fiction?
I think it's young adult. Yeah.
It's about a youth.
I haven't read The Giving Tree.
Get out of here.
I haven't read The Giver.
Have you read The Tree? Nailed it.
I read those in fourth grade, I feel like.
Nobody had anything to follow that.
Yeah. We call it. Let's call it there.
Okay. Let's call it.
Yeah.
I do not want green eggs and ham.
You read that? Yeah.
I don't have time.
Is that up there?
I think Giving Tree is fine. I wasn't like moved by it.
Is that Jan Martel?
People are like, ooh.
Is that young adult fiction?
It's just everything.
Yes.
I do not want creamy cucumber.
Who used to write for Playboy? I was like, oh, Shell.
Who didn't?
Shell Silver's. It's so true. It used to mean something. Now it's just.
Writing for Playboy?
Articles. Yeah. Well, they feel like interviews. You can still get interviewed by them.
Okay.
I do not want.
I guess I'd be interviewed by them.
Honey Mustard.
Well, like I said, with Ten Tiles Magazine, written over in the California.
I do not want raspberry vinaigrette.
Sam, I am.
Exactly.
Sam, I am.
I want the ranch.
Mark, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having.
Of course, get you back in the cockpit soon.
Mm-hmm. Please. Mm-hmm. Please come back. Want.
Thanks, Dave and Ed.
No problem.
Sorry, Ed.
That's all right. It happens to me all the time.
Thanks for listening. Check out our stuff. It'sbrainfox.com.
Send us an email at itsbrainfox@gmail.com.
Yep.
And for the last word, we'll go to Brett.
Sea urchin.